Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by just say your name and your role with the show.
I'm Megan Sandberg-Zakian, and I'm the director of The High Ground by Nathan Allen Davis.
Yes, and it's going to be coming to Arena Stage February 10th through April 2nd. Hey, thank you so much for joining us.
Of course, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, let's start with the basic premise here. You know, because you know what it's about. I know what it's about, but our listeners don't. So, yeah, like basic log line premise, setup, that thing.
Well, the play is a play that was commissioned as part of a series on American history, and it's dealing with the Tulsa Race Massacre in 1921 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But it isn't a history play exactly. It takes place in a contemporary context in contemporary Tulsa. And it's not a play that lends itself to an easy summary, but I would say it's about what happens when someone gets stuck in a loop of historical violence and focusing on that history as opposed to being able to process it and move through it. And it's also a romance. It's a love story between two characters who were there in 1921 and in a way find each other again now in 2023.
Wait, so how does that work? So I know it's sort of, you said it's set sort of contemporary Tulsa, you know, like a century later, because last year was the 100th anniversary. But you're saying they were there during the massacre too? How does that work? Is there time travel or something?
There's some time travel, and there's some, I would say, leaps of theatricality
okay.
In terms of what's possible on stage and in a play that maybe isn't exactly possible in life. And thinking about, like, in a way, how do we travel through storytelling and through theater? How does theater let us, as someone in 2023, maybe be part of something that happened in 1921?
Awesome. So a little Back to the Future, back and forth, but on a heavier subject matter of this Tulsa Race Massacre. Well, first of all, I'm glad that I'm so glad to see it's a part of the history books. I know I didn't read about going in school, and so only in recent years, as the centennial came about, that I start, you know, obviously, I guess Watchmen, the HBO series, dealt with it a little bit. There was a great documentary last year, Net Geo, I think, called Rise Again, Tulsa and the Red Summer. I'm glad that things are tackling it again, including your show. I want to get to the romance part in a second, but for, you know, social commentary, history, seriousness for a second, why was it so important for you to grapple and set it here and grapple with this setting?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that, you know, you mentioned it was the 100th anniversary, and it was around the 100th anniversary that folks started really hearing about the history. And there are so many parts of our history that are have been untold because folks were worried about the ramifications of telling the story. So there's actually one of the wonderful things about being here in DC. There's an amazing exhibit at the African American History Museum on Tulsa and on these events in 1921. And I think one of the biggest, one of the things that people are most impacted by when they first learn about this history is the incredible wealth in Greenwood at the time. It was called Black Wall Street, and there were, you know, giant mansions in this African American community with people wearing furs and having, you know, opera records and playing pianos and having thriving businesses and all kinds of just like luxurious and exquisite amenities in this community. And so, and then it was burned to the ground by the by their white neighbors, essentially. So I think that part of the story, and it links to the love story, what kind of love and what kind of relationships existed in the context of that thriving, beautiful Black Wall Street version of Greenwood 100 years ago.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it is eye-opening stuff when you first start reading about it. But I'm so glad shows like yours are shining a light on it. All right. Well, that was, you know, the seriousness of it, but you did mention that there's sort of a time travel-y romance going on here, and of course since it's kicking off, you know, at Arena Stage the week of Valentine's Day, speak to that angle a little bit. You know, who are the lovers involved, who are the romantic leads here in the show?
the character that you'll first see on stage is simply called Soldier, played by Philip James Brannan, who is an amazing actor that I actually, Nathan Allen Davis, the playwright, and I worked with on another play, Nat Turner in Jerusalem, at New York Theatre Workshop a number of years ago, where he played Nat Turner. So another historical role. And so he plays this soldier who is on Standpipe Hill, which is the highest place in the city, in Tulsa. And it's a little bit mysterious to the audience at first. Why he's standing on Standpipe Hill in a World War I army uniform. And as the play unspools, trying not to give too many spoilers, but essentially this is perhaps a person who has, through force of personality and the magic of theater, been standing on this hill for 100 years, trying to prevent this tragedy that happened in 1921. He died in 1921 trying to prevent it, and he's been fighting ever since against other kinds of violence against the Black community in Tulsa, including gentrification, including redlining and other kinds of violence, both to the neighborhood and to the Black citizens of Greenwood. So he was a soldier in World War I. Fought for his country, came back, and was really disturbed, as so many Black soldiers were, to find that the racism in his community was still so present after he had fought for his country. And then his he talks a lot about his wife through the play, and the second actor, Nahasayu Dagans, is the other actor. It's just a two-actor play. Plays his wife. She also plays a number of other, I might say, shape-shifting versions of his wife, possibly in
Okay.
the play. And really, she's playing someone who is in love with him and is kind trying to reach through time to find him, to rescue him from being looped in this trauma.
Wow, it sounds really cool. I mean, we've talked a lot about the characters and the big sweeping themes and the historical backdrop, all that stuff. But what about like the from like a actual like writing prose or dialogue standpoint? Like, I want you to dote on Nathan Allen Davis's writing, in terms of like, what the actual text and stuff a little bit, in addition to like just the it's a genius concept, but what about the actual writing is going to stand out to audiences, you think?
Yeah, well, one of the things I love about Nathan's writing is that I feel like he's always writing at this collision of history and poetry. His writing is very lyrical, very beautiful. You hear these turns of phrase, and then you're like, oh, that yes, that that hits me. And then he's also writing very vividly and very clearly about historical events. So that I those are that's kind of the center of what I love about his writing. And I also feel like he writes, his writing is very funny. There's a lot of humor in the play. And there's a lot, it's a lean play. It's not a, it's quite short. It runs under 90 minutes. I think it's running about 75 or 80 minutes right now. So it's he gets a lot done, very concisely, which I also appreciate both as an artist and as a theater goer. And I'll also say that I think that he's tackling certainly some very difficult, very sad, very, very difficult to witness parts of our history in a way that I feel like I'm hearing them in a way that I've never heard them before. It feels like I'm able to take them in because his approach to it is so unique and often quite surprising. So I love his writing for all of those reasons.
Awesome. Well, I have more than enough to work with. But I guess before we run, like what's in the title? And if that's a spoiler, never mind. We don't have to go into it. But I always think it's interesting. Where does the high ground play into this? Is it like the graphic looks like a hill looking down over top of, the burning city of Tulsa? At least that's what I gather from it. But what is it? What's your take on the title?
Yeah. Well, I know I don't think it's a spoiler. It's definitely a hill, and when you walk into the theater to see the play, you will see a giant hill, Standpipe Hill, that now has a tower on it, a big tower, built by Oklahoma State University. But and I think for me, the high ground, and I'm very interested to hear what audiences say, because it's not directly referenced in the play necessarily, but the title alludes to the question of when does it make sense to keep trying to fight, to hold your ground, to take the high ground, to say, I'm right and you are wrong, and so I'm going to keep fighting. And when is it actually more nourishing to you as a human being, and actually potentially more healing to find another path, to find to find a way of surrendering, not to the enemy that's trying to assault you, but surrendering to love, to connection, and to a workaround that allows for some peace and some settling into a ground that you can share with your family, with your community. And I mentioned before that the play is about what happens when you get stuck in this loop of historical trauma. And it's also a love story. And so for me, the play really asks what kind of telling of this particular story could get us unstuck. Is can we hold on to our legacies of love and connection, in spite of or in addition to these legacies of trauma and violence? And so for me, the image of the high ground is a way of like releasing something. Like maybe we need to release our hold on the high ground and find something, find a different ground.
Nice. I love it's a layered title. It's like a double, triple meaning. I love it. All right. Well, I have enough to work with. I guess before we run, I always like to end like pretend that I'm not even here, like and talk directly to our listeners and say, hey, DMV, come on out to the High Ground at Arena Stage, basically just invite them out. Tell them why they'll have a good time.
Yeah, I'm so excited for Washington, D.C. audiences to see the High Ground. I know that folks will feel like Nathan Allen Davis is an incredibly exciting writer, a voice in the American theater that we're all going to be hearing a lot more from, and that the performances and the design are really stunning. And so it, theatrically, you'll be psyched, you'll be electrified. It will be a very exciting, artistically exciting evening in the theater, and probably most importantly, having another view on the incredibly important telling of the story of what happened in Tulsa in 1921, taking a moment to drop into and to honor that part of our history in a way that also is going to ask you to reflect with your reflect yourself, with your family, with whoever you come to the show with folks in the lobby. Like, how do we move forward, knowing that this is part of who we are?
Awesome. Well, it sounds great. Again, everyone, it's called The High Ground at Arena Stage. It's going to run February 10th through April 2nd. So get your tickets now at arenastage.org. Hey, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. This is great.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.